Welcome to Tailored Topics, where life's complexities are tailored into conversations that empower you.
Welcome back to another episode of Tailored Topics, you guys. This week's episode is all about anxiety and overthinking. And I am the queen of that. I even have a sweatshirt called CEO of Overthinking across the chest. So I know a thing or two. But before I get into that, I just want to thank everybody for listening to Tailored Topics this year. I took a look at the numbers and I took a look at where people are listening from, and I'm actually really floored by the results because not only do I have a lot of people listening, but it's where they're listening from. I'm from the US, which you could probably hear from my accent, but the fact that I have more people listening abroad than I have in the US is crazy to me. I mean, Germany, Japan, Switzerland, Belgium, UK, France, Italy. I mean, think of it, you name it, they're listening from there. And like, that's crazy to me. So thank you so much. I can't wait to see how this progresses and where Tailored Topics is going to go from here. And I love what I do, so I'm going to keep doing it. So getting into anxiety and overthinking. God, I've lived with anxiety my entire life. And I think the worst part is it started as a child, which that's how a lot of things start, right? It's as a child. But I think the crazy part is I didn't really realize that I had anxiety and I thought it was a normal thing. And while it is normal that a lot of people have it, it's not something that you should get used to having because it's like this little extra baggage of weight that you carry with you everywhere. And that's just not how you should be going about life. So when my anxiety, I think, started at school. And realistically, it started in middle school when I became a little bit more aware and I was watching how other people would react to me and I would watch how I would react to myself. And it started to become into this war zone where I was going to battle every day, every time I went to school. I hated going to school. I hated school so much. And it's not like I wasn't a good student. I was a great student. But I hated the politics of the teachers getting mad. I hated the politics of friends not liking other people, the bullies, the meanness. And it created such a stress frenzy in me that I hated going. And that's really where the pit of my anxiety stemmed from. I would literally take my backpack to school and then my extra backpack of anxiety every morning when I would go. I did not like it. I had a stress response to it. I'd start to get the shakes a little bit. I would overthink everything. I would kind of check out from conversations because I was thinking of what was going to happen in 10, 15 minutes, an hour versus what was happening in front of me. My thoughts would be racing. My heart would be racing at some points. It just wasn't, it's not a way to live. And I just didn't realize I had it. And I honestly thought it was normal. I thought everybody had anxiety. I thought everybody was pressured to do certain things because they wanted to like get somewhere like in life. I thought it was like a societal pressure that was just like normal. And when I got older, I think around 13 or 14, I think the term anxiety was actually used with me. They're like, oh, you're just anxious. Well, I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, what do you mean I'm anxious? And I kind of was defensive about it. I'm like, what do you mean I'm anxious? Like, no, this, like, I just, you know, I kind of would check out. I'm like, I don't know what you mean. And it wasn't until I think college, that's when it really solidified of like, oh yeah, like I have anxiety. Like, this is what this is. Because I would start to, what would happen is I wouldn't go to events because I just didn't have the energy to do it. Or I was just like nervous about it. And I just didn't want to deal with like people being mean to me or like the outcome of a situation just not going where I wanted it to go. And I think I missed out on a lot because I let it rule me, and that's not good. So I had like this intuitive mentor, I guess you could say, and she, you know, she told me I had anxiety and she told me what it was. And basically anxiety broken down is you overestimating a situation and then underestimating your ability to handle that situation. So let's break it down further. I think a big misconception about anxiety is the fact that people think when you have anxiety, it is you against the world. That's how you at least feel. That's how I felt, or I feel when I have it. And it's not. It is a battle. It is you against you. It is strictly a battle with you. It has nothing to do with other people. But when you feel the symptoms of anxiety, you think otherwise because you think, oh, like somebody's reacting to me a certain way. Like this is all about me. You know, I'm not going to get the job. I'm not going to get here. I can't do this. It's not true. And I think I've relaxed a lot knowing that it's a battle against me and not other people. People think it's a battle against them because of how certain people react to situations. So let me explain this because I feel like it could get confusing very fast. When you are, let's say you're at a, you know, at a restaurant chatting with friends saying, oh, hey, like, I think I'm going to get promoted at this job. I would really love to. But you've only been at the job for 6 months. You only make this amount of money. You think, okay, I think I'm going to get promoted. I think I'm going to make this amount of money. I think I'm going to go and maybe, you know, move to this new office. All the things, you're getting excited about it. But deep down inside, you're a little nervous thinking it may not happen. And then your friends are kind of agreeing with that negative thought, saying that, oh, I don't think it's going to happen. So they're saying, oh, like, be realistic, Taylor. It's probably not going to happen. Be realistic, Taylor. There's no way you can make that sort of money. Da 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 da. And so automatically, you're anxious about it. You're starting to overthink. You're nervous. All the things. And you think it's about your friends telling you that you're not going to get a certain promotion. It has nothing to do with your friends because you already believed that. And the friends saying those things, it has nothing to do with you because it's not like they don't believe that you can't have it. They don't think that they can have it. So naturally, if someone thinks that they can't have something, it's only natural for them to think that somebody else can't have something too. Because if they can't have it, why could you have it? So it has nothing to do with them. It's you against you, boo. So when you know that and you realize that, you have no one to get mad at or upset at with other than yourself. Yes, it could be annoying and irritating when you have, like, you know, I think parrots basically speaking back to your own fears and stuff. But it's you against you. And that also goes with you against you with what you want as well. Why are you doing certain things? Why are you going for that promotion? This is important too. Why are you going for that promotion? Is it because you genuinely want to do it, or is it because you're doing it for somebody else? Because anxiety can also stem when you go against what you truly want. So why are you doing it? Why are you going after the other money? Why are you going after a certain career or industry? Why are you going to be a doctor when you know you want to be a fashion designer? Certain things like that, right? Because you're not doing things for other people. You should be doing things for you. You could be doing things out of the goodness of your heart for other people, sure. You know, but realistically, why you're doing something should be about you. So, because let's be honest, when you're doing something for another person, that's a cheap why. That's only going to last so far. I have this saying on my shelf, and it's just a funny saying, but it says, don't give up. You've still got a couple of mother effers to prove wrong. And I think it's funny, but that's not why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. They fuel me a little bit, but it's because I'm doing things because I want to do it. You're not doing things because of your husband or your wife or your parents or your sister or your grandmother or your spouse or your dog. You're doing things because of you, because if you're doing things because of other people and it goes against what you truly want, there's going to be anxious flares. If you're staying in a relationship that you know you shouldn't be staying in because you don't want to hurt somebody, hey, like, that's, you know, that's on you. Leave the relationship because you want to be happy. You know, I was dating this guy like for a couple of months, and it was interesting because he told me, he's like, oh, I don't know if I want to, like, you know, I don't know what I want. And he goes, I overthink everything. And I'm thinking, is it you don't know what you want because you, like, genuinely don't know what you want, or you don't really want to stay in it and you don't really want to hurt me? And it doesn't matter at the end of the day because he ended up lying to my face anyways. That's not the reason why we're not dating anymore. But think about it. Why are you doing certain things? Is it because you genuinely want to, or is it because you think that you should be doing something? So again, it's a battle of you against you. So I think something to break down to is, so why is it such a battle against ourselves? Why are we battling ourselves? Why are we creating something that is so hard for ourselves? And I think it comes out of the fear of failure, perfectionism, wanting control. You know, we have in our heads an idea of the way we want life to work. All of us in our own ways have an idea of how we want life to work. I know I do. And I know I've been humbled many times, because when you make plans, the universe smiles back at you thinking, oh, she doesn't know yet. Maybe not. Maybe something here is better for her. But we as humans, we don't grasp that right away. Like, if you don't get into your dream school, you know, like that was your plan. What happens if you don't succeed in that plan? You think that the world is over in your head. That's where anxiety starts to stem. Or, oh my God, I failed the test. I thought that I was going to go to law school, but I failed the test. I've only ever thought of law school for the last 10 years. What do I do now? Because what we do in our heads is we think that one solution is the end all solution. That's not true. You know, life happens so beautifully by not being on the beaten path, by not happening on the path that you think it should go down. So many things have happened for me. So many good things have happened to me unexpectedly because things that I thought I wanted to work out didn't. I thought I wanted this one relationship to work out. It didn't. I thought that by me going to fashion school, you know, it was my ticket to get into Condé Nast. Shit, that didn't happen. I thought that, you know, me working at a bank, like a solid bank, I was really going to climb that corporate ladder. That didn't happen either. The bank failed. You know, just certain things that I thought was going to happen that I was propelling my life to in a certain track didn't happen. It was creating a lot of anxiety for me because things weren't going that way. But I think when I become at peace with the fact that I can control how I react to certain situations, even though I can't control the situations that arise, brings me a lot of peace. And it took a lot to get to that point because, you know, there's so many societal pressures have had me in a chokehold for such a long time. The fear of failure, oh my God, has me in such a chokehold. So, but I'm letting that go because I know I can trust myself. I know I can trust what I'm capable of. I'm capable of so many things. Not only did I graduate college, I got a master's. I moved to another country. I lived in New York City for 8 years. You know, I made a great income. I'm making a great income. I'm doing all the things that, you know, I couldn't necessarily grasp around my head because I was so focused on the how. And when you get rid of the how, things start to pop up so beautifully for you. So let me tell you all the ways that I have nipped anxiety in the bud every single time I've dealt with it or have it rise up this year, because it's come up a lot. I mean, I've gotten through a lot of transitions. A lot of things have happened this year that I didn't think were going to happen because, again, I had this list of things that I wanted and how I wanted them, keyword how, and the how wasn't really working out. And so, but I'm still getting what I want, but the anxiety of just focusing on that how was spiking. So the first thing is let yourself be anxious. Don't go against the grain with it. Let yourself, and I know this probably sounds counterintuitive, but let yourself for a few minutes feel that anxiety and then give it an expiration date. The other night I was sitting in bed watching TV before going to bed, and all of a sudden I just like had all this anxiety. My thoughts were running wild. Something triggered me on the television because this girl wasn't getting what she wanted. And she had the same goal as me. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what if I don't get what I wanted? And I started like spiraling a little bit. So instead of just like getting mad at myself and telling myself to stop, I'm like, no, let's do this for 10 to 15 minutes here. Let's let yourself feel it and then relax. Because what you're doing is you're teaching yourself, one, what triggered you, two, why you're feeling this way, three, the symptoms, and four, letting it ride out. So you're not dealing with it in small, tiny spurts because you suppressed it. Two, practice self-compassion with yourself because, look, it shouldn't be normal that you have anxiety all the time, but it is normal that it happens. So don't beat yourself up because you have it. Everybody has it to some extent. When someone tells you they think you can't do something, just know that they have anxiety. because that is their first thing. That is the biggest giveaway, because they have anxiety that they can't do something themselves. They've created limiting beliefs because they can't handle their own anxiety. So be compassionate towards yourself. Be compassionate to others, because it goes a long way, let me tell you, because the way that you speak to yourself is how you treat yourself. So if you're getting mad and if you're not allowing yourself to feel something fully, then you are also part of the problem in the battle against yourself. So write a letter, meditate, you know, take some time off, even if you think that you can't, take some time off. Bring that compassion back to yourself. Physical health. Oh my gosh. So I started this thing where I joined a run club, and that's because when my anxiety starts fueling up, I'm using, you know how much energy you use with anxiety? You use so much energy because you crash out. You get so tired after that anxious few hours that you've had. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, if I could spend that amount of energy stressing out about something that I really can't control here, why don't I just go for a run? It helps me physically. My stress is like flows out of my body like water, and I am able to go travel to different places running, make new friends while doing it, and create a better physical health for myself. So I started running, and it has helped me so much. So I don't know if you want to join a run club, but do something physical, and it will really help you with that anxiety, because you'll release something, you'll focus your energy on something else, you'll clear your mind, and you'll allow yourself to be tired without the stress of it all. And then limit your information overload. This is, I think, one of the things that I think could be a leading cause in society, I think at least in today's world, because of the fact that social media exists. Like when I scroll on social media, you know, it's so normal to start comparing yourself to where other people are at your age. It's so normal to start seeing like, oh my God, this person got this, this, and this. Like I didn't get this. And then your anxiety starts to flare up thinking, oh my God, you know, what am I doing wrong? Or I can't have this, or, you know, things just aren't working out the way that I plan them to yet again. So limit like your time on social media. I love reading. I am such a binge reader. I'll read like 20 books in a month, and then I won't touch a book for like 3 months. But what I've been doing is like anytime that I know that I've like been doom scrolling on my phone, I'll just turn my phone off and I'll start reading a book. And all of a sudden my anxiety just like goes away because I'm focusing on the story and I'm not focusing on my little loop of fears and everything else. And then another thing too is setting like small achievable goals. What I'll do is when I have anxiety is I'll literally like have a huge laundry list of items, and I'll start focusing on how I have so much to do, so little time. And then all of a sudden my heart starts going, the overthinking starts happening, I'm checking out from what's in front of me. And you can't do that, because then you're like wasting so much time overthinking and then not getting what you need to get done. So I have a nice little running notes list, and it just feels so good to cross something out. And I'll handwrite it too, because handwriting is way better than typing it out, because there's just something about the pen gliding across the paper with like a line, like a big red line, like you got it done. So setting those small achievable goals, perfection. And then journaling. Oh my God, I love journaling. I have a friend who journals every single day without fail. I'm not as good as her in that sense, but I do journal. And when I do, it just like allows things to just like pour out of me. I get to release. I don't have to worry about it anymore because I allow myself to process that that thought. And then I just keep going. I think journaling is like one of the biggest therapeutic things for me. If you live by water, take like a walk around the water. Oh, there's something about water that just like really just like calms my mind. That's a big thing. And I think while you're doing this and while you are nipping that anxiety away, I think above all, you need to look at what exactly is triggering you when you're going through these feelings. Because anxiety is bringing up all these internal things to the surface. It is the one visible thing that you have that's letting you know, hey, you have some deep internal work you need to focus on. So focus on what that trigger is, because then it will prevent future anxious symptoms from happening. Because there's a lot of things that I've had, like in terms of anxiety, that has been brought up in my life repeatedly. And if I knew the what and the why behind those triggers, or what was triggering me, then I may not have had so many little anxious bumps repetitively until I learned the lesson as to like why. I know, like when I was a kid and everything, I was so triggered by wanting good friends and everything. So anytime that I was triggered by being bullied and everything else, and that anxious feeling of meeting new people, it was almost like I had that trigger of, oh my God, we're not going to be accepted by other people. And so my trigger was, is I'm not good enough for other people, or I'm not good enough for myself. And so anytime I would meet new friend groups, like in school and everything, I had all this anxiety about it because I wanted to be accepted so damn bad. And that was a huge trigger for me. So we had to get over that hump. And now when I meet people, I'm just like, no, so nonchalant about it. Like, if you don't like me, I don't care, because I know I like myself. Like, I, you know, I do not care. I live by myself. I do a lot of things by myself. I go to the movie theater by myself, library, travel abroad by myself. I do all these things because I'm so happy by myself and I'm so at peace with it that I no longer have the anxiety of, I'm no longer attaching my worth or my feelings or anything towards other people. You know what I mean? Like, I no longer have anxiety about having friends or relationship or anything about that, because it had nothing to do with, are they going to accept me? It's, am I going to accept me? Look at the triggers. Look at why you're feeling certain ways. I have people saying, oh, I can never do what you do and move abroad and all this other stuff. That's a trigger for them. Why do they feel like they can't do that? Do they feel like they can't just like pick up their life and move to another country? I know that's a big thing. I'm not like putting anyone down for not doing that. I'm just, you know, what is the trigger there? What gives you so much anxiety about it? You know, I have friends that'll tell me, oh, I would love to do this, but I can't do it because I'm risk averse. What you're telling me and what you're telling yourself is what you're stopping from doing what you want, because you think if you take the leap, that bet on yourself isn't going to be lucrative for you. You are the best damn bet you will ever have. Just know that you will always get everything back tenfold. Your risk shouldn't be you. Your risk might be other things, but it shouldn't be you. Now, this is not me saying that you should go to a casino and bet $5 million or whatever and lose it all. What I'm saying is bet on yourself, knowing that whatever you want to achieve, you can achieve it. And that anxiety should not be you being afraid to take a bet on yourself. Look at those triggers. Look at the why. Because the anxiety is just telling you that you have some deep work that you need to do. Getting rid of the anxiety is just a small graze of the mountain here. What we need to really work on, what you truly need to work on, is the trigger behind the anxiety. And we could talk about that further if you want, let me know. But that's, you know, anxiety is just, you know, it's the thing about, it's like that, it's basically like an iceberg. It's the tip of the iceberg. You can get rid of the symptoms of anxiety, but the deep work comes from what triggers you. It really does. So with that, I'm going to close this episode of Taylor Topics of Anxiety and Overthinking. Let me know what you guys want to hear about next. I've gotten a lot of good feedback. I've gotten some feedback that you guys want some changes. I'm listening to that. I'm learning. So let me know, and I'm excited to see you next week.